This is what happens when you talk as much as I do on a Sunday morning. So maybe it's God's way of telling me to talk less. I don't know. Some of you are like, a short sermon, we can do that. So it's so good to be here this morning. It's great to be in Hayward. If we haven't met, my name's Chad, and I get to be the pastor of this great church, and I'm honored to be here. And Chase and I, some of you have met Chase. Chase and I are here. Chase started school this week. And if you asked him today how it went, I think he would say, his standard answer has been, it got better as it went along, which as a dad, I call that a win, I want you to know. And I learned that I don't make his lunch right. Mom makes peanut butter and honey sandwiches differently than I do, apparently. But I'm learning this single parent thing right now. Last week, if you were here, we asked you to pray for the sale of our home. And that was it's a really big deal, a sale of our home back in Indiana where Julie and our other two boys are right now. And honestly, this is a God thing. You want to know, like, you know, God at work? The answer is yes. We sold our house in 36 hours. 36, yeah. So total God thing, and a lot of IKEA in our house too, I think. But it's a total God thing. And we had a full price offer. A full price offer. Julie said, do we want a counter? I said, with what? Like, I don't think a counter with. So just thank God for that. And your prayers have been such a boost to us. The meals that you've provided. Chase is like, Dad, how are we ever going to eat this food? I said, I'm going to weigh 700 pounds by my third week here. All this food we got in our fridge. We're so grateful for that. This community is so welcoming. I had a 10-minute conversation at Walgreens the other night about fish fries with the lady at Walgreens, and we just talked about fish fries. Like, we didn't talk about church or Jesus or anything. We just talked about fish, and it was fantastic. And Main Street Tacos is so good. I want you to know, so good. Walked in the, is that the name of the place, Main Street Tacos? It's right across from the bakery, and used to be a coffee shop, everybody tells me, and man, it's so good, and love that place, and you can continue to pray. We're looking for a house here. We went out and looked at houses yesterday. We thought we had our house last week. We thought we had our house, and we had a signed agreement, and then the deal fell apart, so we went out looking yesterday. We saw something yesterday I've never seen in my life, and this is just a true story. I'm just relaying the story as truth. We walked in this house, and in the corner of the house, there was this, like, something under a blanket. I've never seen this in my life. I looked over, and there's, like, the blanket, and there's something, and you could see something was underneath there, like something was breathing under this blanket in the corner of the house. And get this, it was a pig in a blanket. It was a literal pig in a blanket. This pig got up and started walking toward us, and I was like, I told Julia, I said, a feral pig charged me. And she's like, that pig was not feral. I said, I wasn't going to find out if that pig was. I don't even know what a feral pig is. But I was like, that's a feral pig. And Chase just took off. I wish I had a camera. He was just like, no way, man, no. Like, this is not our house. And you buy that house with the pigs on the plate. That's what I'll buy that house. Straight up, pig in the house, coming after me, pig. I barely made it to church. It was a rabid pig. And pig in a blanket. I love to preach. I do. I come from a long line of preachers. I used to be scared to death of preaching. I still get nervous. Right before I get up, I get nervous. But this morning, I don't want to preach. Sometimes in the life of a church, we need, like, a sermon that's just a good sermon. Like, you just need to hear a message. And some weeks we'll do that. Sometimes we need to have a conversation. And that's what I want to do this morning. I realize that it's my second Sunday here. And so as we gather, we're still getting to know each other. I'm still learning your names. You're still figuring out who I am. And what I want to do today, as I read Joshua chapter 3 this week, is instead of preaching a message and, you know, pounding the pulpit about something, I wanted to sit across the table from you. Wherever you like to go for your coffee, Backwoods Coffee, pretty good place. Isn't that the name of it? Backwoods? Is that the name? Backroads. Sorry, Backwoods. That's a different coffee place. Backroads. please don't tell them I got the name wrong at church on Sunday, back Rhodes Coffee. Wherever you like to go for coffee, or whether you like to sit at the table in your, like in the sunroom of your house, wherever it is, I want you to imagine that we're there this morning. And whatever hot beverage you drink in the morning, I want you to imagine that you have one and I have one too. Coffee, hot chocolate, tea, whatever it may be. And today all I want to do is share from my heart with you what I sense that God might be prompting in these days for us as a church. And how God might want to move. I don't want to presume on God. But there are some ways that God has always worked in the lives of people. And I wonder if God wants to do that again. We just sang it. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe you'll do it again. And so God's done it before. He wants to do it again. And so, Father, today we need to hear from you. We need to hear from your word. We need to hear from your spirit. And I pray that as we open your word, that you would open our eyes. And I pray that you would speak clearly, and may we see Jesus, just Jesus. I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever entered a season of uncertainty? A time in your life where everything was uncertain. A time in your life, maybe it was a job loss, and you just looked in the mirror and you thought, wow, everything is uncertain. Or maybe it was the death of someone that you really loved that was very, very close to you, and suddenly everything became very uncertain. Maybe it was a financial crisis, something happened that you just didn't see coming, or maybe it was some continuing challenge that you faced in your life. If you have faced uncertainty that has kept you up at night, you're in good company today, friends. Because in Joshua chapter 3, we find the children of Israel on the edge of entering a new beginning, on the edge of crossing over the Jordan River, and they find themselves camped there for 3 days. They had been wandering in the wilderness. They had heard, be strong and courageous. And then they had heard not only be strong and courageous, but the people are melting in fear. But now they find themselves on the edge of the water. And the water's at flood stage, and it's about a mile across. And you wonder, what are they going to do? I don't have points this morning as much as I have some statements that I want us to follow through. So if you like to take notes, just write these down. Here's the first one. Anytime you enter a new season, there will be uncertainty. And that uncertainty will either deepen your faith or it will cause you to falter. Every season of uncertainty that you face in your life, just like the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 3, when they found themselves on the water's edge, when they found themselves on the verge of crossing over, for 3 days they camped there. And we don't know this. I mean, we're not told this, but I can imagine that sitting around the campfires at night, somebody said, well, maybe the strong can get across. Maybe the people that are really able-bodied, they can get across. But how are the little kids supposed to get across? How are the women that are carrying infants, how are they going to get across? How do you get across a river at flood stage when you don't have a boat? That's uncertainty. This was the site that greeted these hundreds of thousands of people as they pitched their tents there by the waterside. And today, some of you are camped on the edge of a personal Jordan River. And it is powerful, and it feels permanent. It is powerful in that it has you stuck. You feel frozen by it, and you wonder, I can't step out into this. It's too scary. It's too wide. It's too big. I can't do this. And it feels permanent. Some of you, your personal Jordan is a health struggle that you have faced your whole life, and you say, this will never change. Or a relationship, and you say, this will never change. And your life feels stuck on the wrong side of God's promises. Some of you, you've come to church, and you've said, I just want to hear from God. And you hear people preach from the Bible and talk about what God might do. And it's easy for churches sometimes to feel a little stuck on the side of the Jordan River. But Joshua says, your faith can actually deepen. It doesn't have to falter. Your faith can deepen in a season of uncertainty. That when you feel the most weak, when you feel the most undone, that's when God wants to do his greatest work. Here's another thought. Anytime we enter a new season, anytime we enter into a new beginning, and this is a new beginning, I get it, I'm the brand new guy in town. Anytime we enter a new season, that season is filled with uncertainty. People say, I wonder what Chad thinks about this. Should we talk to Chad about that? What will Chad say about that? And so it's filled with uncertainty. And so when you enter a season that's filled with uncertainty, hold fast to what you know is certain. Amen. Do not let go of what you know is certain. The Bible tells us in verse 2, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you're to move out from your positions. You're to follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have not been this way before. That's a great sentence just to reflect on. You'll know which way to go because you haven't been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark and do not go near it. It is really important when you find yourself on an uncertain road that you follow that which you know is certain. And that which is certain is no earthly thing. That which is certain comes solely from God. I learned this a valuable lesson this week in True Confessions. I picked up Chase from school. And I said, Chase, there's this house. And I said, we're going to go drive by this house. And so I made the mistake. I'm a Google Maps guy. I trust Google Maps. Google knows me. I know Google, it feels like. It feels like we have a relationship. But I used Apple Maps. Oh, not a good idea. And I punched the address. And I'm not going to lie. We're going down the main road. And then it came to a point where it said, turn on this road. And I said to Chase, I said, it said we're supposed to turn there. That looks like a snowmobile trail, though. And Chase is like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. He said, let's take it. So we went down. I took a hard ride on a snowmobile trail this week, people. And I did a U-turn at the end of it. It is very important when you're on an uncertain road, you follow that which is certain. We never found the house. Never found the house. Not our house, if it's off of a snowmobile trail, I guess. I don't know. So for the people, they were told to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the power and the presence of God among them. And they were told, stay back a distance so that everybody really knows clearly how you're supposed to follow and the way that you're supposed to follow. You follow the Ark of the Covenant. For us, you say, what do we follow? What do we follow? We follow the fact that God's word will never change, friends. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We follow the fact that God's love for us will not change. You may feel like I'm unlovable today, but his love for you is real and constant and reckless. It is true and real today, whether you feel it or not. And God's word, God's love, and God's plan will never change. The plan of God for your life will not change. Their task was to follow his lead, to pursue his presence, to come after him. And God's job was to part the waters. God's job was to part the waters. See, so focus on what doesn't change, friends. You have to focus on what doesn't change. Here's another thought. Anytime that we face a new season that is filled with uncertainty, God will call us to set certain things aside so we can fully prepare for all God has for us. Anytime that God calls us to enter into a new season that is filled with uncertainty, God will tell us to let certain things go. Joshua verse 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, those two words, consecrate yourselves, are loaded words. We hear those words, and we're like, consecrate yourself? Like, wait a minute, what do you, consecrate yourself? What is that? What is the writer saying? Consecrate yourself. What does that even mean? But for these people, it would have been crystal clear. For these people, they knew that consecrating yourself meant preparing yourself spiritually for what God was about ready to do. We may not get this consecrate yourself picture, but they would have. They would have known that it meant a ceremonial, personal cleansing. It would have meant taking a bath, crudely put. It also would have meant personal repentance. And it means the same for us. Repentance is not a bad word, friends. Sometimes we hear the word repentance in church and we think, oh, I don't like that idea of repentance. Repentance feels like losing, but you actually win in the long run. When you repent of your sins, you gain life. And when you repent of your past, you gain a future. When you repent, you find new hope. Personal repentance. I wonder if in this season of Lent, as we look toward Easter, I wonder if God would have us to be a people that would be like personally repentant before God in a good way, in a way that just says, God, I want to repent of anything that comes between you and me. And God shows us a little later in Joshua chapter 7 what happens when we don't repent, and we'll get there. But I want you to know, friends, this personal repentance thing is a really big deal. And I want to invite you in this season just to say, okay, God, anything between you and me, I want it to go. Here's the second thing. What might it mean for us to like let some things go so that we can take hold of some new things? It would mean being on spiritual alert to see God at work. Scripture says, like, consecrate yourselves, for the Lord is about to do amazing things among you. And I want you to know, God is always at work around us. And God is doing amazing things. God really is doing amazing things. I've been here a whole week, and I just look around, and I say, okay, God, how are you moving? And I saw God move through Celebrate Recovery the other night. There were about 40 people who gathered for Celebrate Recovery, and one of the ladies told her story of how God had changed her life. And I thought, God, you're moving there. I've seen God move through groups this week, and I've seen God move through activities throughout the church this week. And I said, okay, what if we went on spiritual alert, and we went on a hunt, and just said, God, how is it? How is it that you are doing amazing things? We want to see that. See, consecration means I will set aside the typical, and I will put all of those things aside so that I can take hold of what God has for us. Here's another thought. All great movements of God start with one courageous step of fearless faith. All great movements. Some of you, you're like, well, look, I'm just a, you don't know who you're talking to here. Like, you're talking to some spiritual giant. I want you to know this, friends. All great movements of God start with one courageous step of fearless faith. Verse 13, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, the waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap, in a pile. What's the writer saying? Joshua is saying, look, when you step in the water, God's going to move. When you step in the water, it seems like a little step, but when you step in that water, God will move. A.W. Tozer, when he writes about this, he comments about this very verse. He said, God is waiting for us to get our feet wet. God is waiting for us to get our feet wet. Amen. And when I thought about that, my mind raced to this little video right here of a little kid on the edge of fear.
I'll do it. Well, here goes something, I guess. Okay, you can do this. I'm gonna jump.
You got it.
Whoa, my ski's slipping off.
Just remember, never snowplow, okay?
Here.
The longer you wait, you'll be more scared.
I go. Yeah.
Yeah, good for that kid. You think she went right back up the hill and went down again? I think so. And I wonder what happens if every time we step out in faith, it becomes easier to step out in faith again. Every time we trust God, it becomes easier to trust God again. I had a friend who asked me one day, he said, Chad, why do you trust God? Like, why do you trust God when you're facing difficult times? And I trust God in difficult times because time and time and time again, God has shown himself to be trustworthy, that God will provide. So somebody said, are you stressed out about finding a house? Not at all. Like, on my list of things I'm stressed about, that's down here somewhere. Like, I'm not, somebody here will take me into their house before I end up sleeping on the streets, you know? And so, like, that's way down here because over and over again, I've seen God provide. All great movements of God start with one courageous step of fearless faith. And I wonder today for some of you, if God would say, no more passive faith. I want you to step out and I want you to trust me. And there's exhilaration that comes on the other side. Here's another one. This is the one that I want you to hear. And if I had more time, I would really land here today on a lot of this. When we step out in fearless faith, We will always find that God is already at work upstream in our lives.
Amen.
Verse 16, look at this. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them, and the Jordan is at flood stage during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan. No, you're fine. It's happened to me too while I've been preaching before. Reached their Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. True story. I follow Michigan Athletics. We'll just acknowledge the moment. I follow Michigan Athletics and I have scoring alerts set to my phone. I straight up was doing a funeral one time on a Saturday and I got na-na-na-na-na-na coming through my phone and it was like, if anybody cares, Michigan's up 21-14, you know? So fortunately, the guy who had passed was a Michigan fan and his family loved it. But I was like, this is a bad idea. And so when we step out in fearless faith, we will find that God is at work upstream in our lives. And when they stepped into the waters, the Bible tells us in verse 16 that the water upstream stopped flowing. Now, I don't know how this happened, but I want you to picture this. When they came to the edge of the water and their feet just touched the water, upstream God did something. And here's what I want you to get. God's doing some things upstream in the life of our church. I really believe that. I think about the fact that I'm your pastor today, and I look at that, and I say, for me to be your pastor today, God worked upstream in my life, and God worked upstream in the life of your church. I told you, I think, a couple of weeks ago about when I talked to Pastor Mark, and it was October 31, and the conversation we had that day, I don't need to go into all of it, but I remember in that conversation thinking, God, you're at work upstream. You're at work upstream already in this. And when you step out in faith, you'll find out that God is working upstream. You'll find out that God is working upstream in your relationships. God is upstream in your work. God is upstream in your efforts. God is working upstream in ways that you cannot immediately see, but you soon enough will. God is working upstream. I remember many years ago, Julie and I had been married a year, and I got diagnosed with kidney cancer. I'll spare the whole story for other days, but I got diagnosed with kidney cancer. I had a grapefruit-sized mass on my left kidney. I'm cancer-free. I've been cancer-free all these years, 20-plus years now, I believe, to the glory of God. I'm so grateful for that. But I remember we lived in this little town called Coldwater, and walking into the hospital in Coldwater, and it's like, what do you do? And they're like, we're going to do surgery. I hadn't spent a night in the hospital since the day I was born. And walk into the hospital, and they're in the hospital. And the doc's like, yeah, we're going to do surgery tomorrow. And my wife had worked at this little hospital, and she's as a nurse. And she said, you're going to do that here? And like in this little hospital? It would be like, I mean, it's like taking your Mercedes to like Uncle Eddie to fix it, you know? And it kind of felt that way a little bit. And like, you're going to do that here? And they were like, yeah, the doctor is amazing. And the doctor had been one of the top cancer doctors at University of Michigan Medical Center, Ann Arbor, Michigan. And he just wanted to move to a smaller town. So he came to Coldwater. And he was one of the top guys in the business. And you know what? He didn't end up there by accident. He didn't end up there by accident. And I thought to myself, God, you were working upstream. And God wants to work upstream in your life too. Here's the last one, and then we'll be done. Small steps of fearless faith will lead to the miraculous in our midst. This is what I would really want to say to you if we were really across the table from each other today. I would want you to hear this. Small steps of fearless faith always lead to the miraculous. Now, some of you hear that word miraculous, and you think to yourself, listen, I'm not into anything kooky. I don't want anything weird. And I get what you're saying on that. But I want you to get this. In verse 17, it says that the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stopped in the middle of the Jordan, and they stood there. If you look in your Bible, it says this too. They stood there on dry ground.
Yes.
Now, listen, I don't know nothing, but that's improper English. So my mother, who's an English teacher, she's home in heaven. She's like, Chad, speak properly. But I don't know nothing about rivers other than this. You run a river over ground, the ground gets wet, right? Water and ground equals wet ground. And the river's at flood stage. But now they're crossing over and they're standing on dry ground. That's miraculous. But not only dry ground for the priest. It isn't like the priest found a rock in the middle of the river. But it says that all Israel passed by until the whole nation crossed by. And the whole nation, they crossed by on dry ground. That's miraculous, friends. And when I think about Hayward Wesleyan Church, when I think about what God wants to do through our church, through your life, through my life, and in us and through us in this season, I am simply praying this, friends. I am praying that God would do the miraculous in our midst. I'm praying that between now and Easter time, we would together see miraculous happen. You say, well, what do you even mean when you say that? I was in the gas station this week. It was Wednesday, and I understood that the paper came out on Wednesday. So I was driving home. I had Chase with me, and I pulled into the gas station. He's like, we need gas? And I was like, no, we don't need gas. I got to get a paper. And he's like, why do you need a paper? And I was like, I got to catch up on Hayward News. And he's like, Dad, we're so new, you don't even know what the news is, you know? And I'm like, no, I got to get a paper. And so I went in the gas station, Chase waited in the car, and I walked in, and I got my newspaper, and I bought a pack of bubblegum. True confessions, I love bubblegum. I'm not going to lie. My dentist hates that I love bubblegum, but I love me some bubblegum. And so I bought a pack of bubblegum and a newspaper, and I went up to the counter, and I was paying for that. And there's a guy over here to my left, and he was buying a whole mess of lottery tickets. I mean, this is like a stat. He was just buying. I got the $2 tarot. I don't know what they are. Like, I'll take a $2, I'll take a $4, I'll take a Powerball. I mean, he's buying them all. And I was just like, man, that guy, he is emptying his wallet on those lottery tickets. So I turned to him, and I said, you from around here? What do you say when you're the new preacher in town? And he turned to me, yeah, I've been here for a number of years now. And he's like, how about yourself? You from around here? And I was like, well, I just came to town a week ago. And he turned to me and he said, yeah, I knew that. I said, how'd you know that? He said, you don't have a hat on. And I was like, yeah, that's okay, I left my hat at home. So why you want to hate on me, man, you know? And so I said to him, I'm buying these lottery tickets, he said, because I don't want to ever have to work another day in my life. I said, no kidding. And I said, you know what? I said, I just got a new job. Like I said, I'm really happy that I get to work. And he said, well, what's your job? I said, well, you're not going to like this, man. But I said, I'm the senior pastor at the Hayward Wesleyan Church. He said a word there that I can't say in church, but he was just like hot blank. And he said, I said, you know, you ought to come some Sunday. I said, you go to church? And he's like, nah, he said, if I went to church, he said, that church would fall down. I said, you seriously think that? I said, here's the deal. If you came to church, you win the lotto, you come to church, the building falls down, you could buy us a new building. Like, it's a deal. I said, I'll make you a deal. If the building falls down, you don't ever have to come to church again. I'll make you that deal. I said, if the building would fall down because people walked into it, it would have fallen down when I walked into it 25 years ago as a kid wandering from Jesus. This guy's like, I don't know, man. I don't think church is for me. I said, listen. I said, you don't want to know what I like about our church? I said, I'm just figuring it all out, and the people are still figuring me out. I don't know what, you know, we're all sorting it out. But I said, when you walk into our church, above the door, it says, there's a place for you at Hayward Wesleyan Church. And I said, I want you to know something, man. You come on Sunday, there's a place for you. And he's like, I don't know, man. I just don't want to work anymore. I was like, all right, well, okay, there's a place for people who don't want to work anymore at Hayward Wesleyan Church. And he's just looking at me like, I'm never buying lottery tickets again. Like, you want to know what would be miraculous? What if between now and Easter, a whole bunch of guys and gals that said, nah, I'm never going to walk into church, walked into church on a Sunday morning, and they encountered Jesus in a way that resulted in them trusting Christ for their lives. Amen. And people say, they'll say, oh, you don't know, man. Like, these people are so far from God. I'll tell you stories about people that are so far from God that I wondered if they'd ever come back to Christ. And I'll tell you stories about a buddy of mine right now that lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan, named Guy Rickert, who said he'd never go to church, but he ended up on the back row of our church. And today, Guy's fighting a horrible bout with cancer, but he's fighting it with faith because he trusted Christ with his life. So when people say, oh, they'll never come to faith in Christ, I don't buy that anymore, friends. What if God wanted to do the miraculous? He's done it before, and what if we saw him do it again? I wonder if God wants to do the miraculous, helping people to find physical healing or spiritual healing or emotional healing. What if God did the miraculous and set some people free from some addictions that they fought with for just far too long? What if God did the miraculous and we saw a whole bunch of people going deeper in their faith and they said, you know what, I'm going to, instead of starting the morning on Facebook, I'm going to start the morning in the good book. Like, what if we started like that and said, I'm going to read a verse of scripture, I've talked too much this morning, a verse of scripture, and I just reflected on it and I let it seep down into my soul.
Amen.
What if the most selfish person you know became the most generous person you know? Some of you are like, wait a minute, like, I don't, yeah, you're talking about money. But here's the deal. Zacchaeus was the most selfish person of his day, but he became the most generous person of his day. And if God did that before, he can do it again. What if the most hurtful person became the most loving person? What if the alcoholic became sober? What if God, when I wrote these words this week, it messed me up. What if God used our church to make such a remarkable difference in this area that we would be unignorable?
Yes.
What if God worked through your, and you say, well, what does that mean? It means he works through your lives. The way you do business, the way you relate to your family, the way you relate to your coworkers, the way you treat your students at the school. What if God made such a remarkable difference in our lives that we would be unignorable to the world around us? Not in some weird, kooky way, but it would be miraculous. So I want to ask you this question, and then we'll be done. What is your faith step today? What is your faith step today? Because active faith means we do something with it. And so maybe today it's to forgive. And some of you in this room, you say, well, I can't forgive. If I forgive that person, what if they hurt me again? If I forgive, but maybe it means forgiving. Maybe it means inviting. Maybe it means releasing. I don't know what your faith step is today. Maybe it simply means saying, I'm going to take 20 minutes every morning and praying. Maybe it means I'm going to meditate on God's word in a more intentional way. But here's what I know. When we trust God enough to obey him, God always gets involved.
Amen.
God is not absent in those moments. And so I want to close in this way today. And here's what I want us to do. We're going to sing a song in closing that I just love. And as we sing this song, Pastor Loretta and Pastor Jeremy, I believe, are around. We're going to be here across the front. And as we sing today, if you would just say, I just need personal prayer. Jeremy, I'll have you right here in the middle. I need prayer for a kind of a personal, right there, boss. I need prayer for a personal Jordan River that I'm facing, for a place that I need to step out and trust God, and I'm scared to death. I heard somebody, this is my favorite story. A guy was talking to his wife. He told his wife, he said, honey, every time I think about trusting God in this way, my mouth gets dry. My mouth gets dry. And he's like, she's like, okay. And then he said, honey, every time I think about trusting God in this way, my palms get sweaty. And this wife, full of mercy, turned to him and said, honey, maybe you should lick your palms. I'll tell you what, friend, it's palm licking time as a church. That sounds like I'm from Texas, right, Loretta? It's palm licking time. And so today you'd say, my mouth is dry and my palms are sweaty. And I need somebody to stand with me in prayer. As we sing, I would just invite you, if you'd like prayer, you can come to Jeremy, come to Loretta, come to myself. And all we're going to do is just say, how can we pray for you today? And then we're going to have a prayer. And then you can go back to your seat. So let's stand together. Let's pray. And then let's sing. I pray, Jesus, now you'd minister to us, even in these moments.